Blog Talk Radio.
Too much month left over at the end of the money? Tired of stretching out your paycheck to the last penny? Learn how to think like a millionaire, live within your means, and find true financial independence with Heather Wagenhals. Unlock Your Wealth Radio. Tune in to the midweek update for all the tips and tricks you'll need to manage your money. Here's your host, Heather Wagenhals.
Greetings and salutations, everyone. Welcome to the broadcast. You are listening to the midweek update on Heather Wagenhals' Unlock Your Wealth Radio. I am your hostess with the Financial Mostess. And for this fabulous Wednesday, December 9th, we are broadcasting live from the HQ Real Estate and Investment Offices right here in Scottsdale, Arizona. And I'm so excited for today. This week's key coming up is Remember Real Estate, but today is the Las Palomas Lip Gloss Exchange Luncheon. And it's been an organization I've been involved in for almost a decade, so I'm pretty excited about today. It's a charity organization, and every month different sets of girls host it, and we bring in lesser-known charities that may not get the attention that some of the national charities receive, and we bring attention to them, and we raise funds and awareness and attract volunteers through our luncheons. We give them a platform to speak, and then all the proceeds from the luncheon go to benefit whichever organization is being featured. So I'm very excited. It's our holiday luncheon, and there's shopping and all kinds of fun. So we have that to look forward to here on this Wednesday here in Scottsdale, Arizona. I'm so excited because we're coming close to the end of the road with this season, and we've made it so far. If you just take a look and see how much we've accomplished, this is the ninth key. We've made it 9 weeks. And how has it been for you? Have you had some epiphanies? Maybe no epiphanies, but maybe some small changes. Have you noticed a difference in your attitudes and perceptions about money and about your family with regard to money? That's what we're trying to make a difference. And hopefully you're experiencing some benefits out of applying these principles from the keys. And this week is what we've all been building up for, is the Remember Real Estate key. Now, for those of you who are joining us for the first time, welcome to the show. And this Wednesday and every Wednesday at 10 a.m. Pacific Standard Time, and on Saturdays at 9 a.m. Pacific Standard Time for 2 hours, we bring you the Unlock Your Wealth radio program and talk about crisis management and financial wellness tools designed to help everyone, man, woman, and child alike, manage their finances and attitudes for the single purpose of accomplishing financial independence. And it's right there at your fingertips. You know, neuro-linguistic programming tells us that we have all the resources we need available. But what might be happening if you're not getting the results you desire is they might not be organized in a fashion that's benefiting you right now. And that's what we're working to overcome. On today's show, we have some awesome Minutes on Your Money stories, and I'm going to hop right into those. How about what really happened in Dubai? And this is from Simon Meyerhofer. Last week's concern about a Dubai fallout rattled the financial markets and added yet another facet of uncertainty to investing in today's market. Interestingly, the situation in Dubai is more complex than it appears at first glance. What did really happen, and what are the implications for the U.S. market? Well, if you take a look behind the curtain to fully understand the implications of what the news was that was brought to us, it helps to delve into some of the facts not commonly discussed in the media. The political structure of Dubai is a complicated one that deserves some attention. Dubai is a city-state and one of the seven emirates that make up the United Arab Emirates. Dubai is one of only two emirates of the UAE to possess veto power over critical national matters. The other one is Abu Dhabi. Mohammed bin Rashid Al Maktoum is Dubai's current ruler and also the prime minister and vice president of the United Arab Emirates. And the UAE has the world's six largest oil reserves, none of which are in Dubai, but the UAE's main revenue is now derived from tourism, property, and financial services. Dubai and Abu Dhabi are the most powerful of the seven autonomous city-states. While Dubai has been aggressively investing in projects around the world, Abu Dhabi has been more conservative, both religiously and financially. The entity that announced last week that the debt payments on the $26 billion worth of loans may need to be postponed is Dubai World. This announcement sent shivers down the world markets, because who is Dubai World? Dubai World is an investment company that manages and supervises a portfolio of businesses and projects for the Dubai government. Investment projects include the Palm Islands and the World, artificially constructed peninsulas of sand dredged from the bottom of the Persian Gulf in the shape of a palm, and the World. Dubai World also owns interest in several of the world's biggest ports, Las Vegas City Center, luxury retailer Barney's of New York, and many others. As of 2006, Dubai World had more than 50,000 employees in over 100 cities around the globe. And on November 25th, Dubai World unveiled its intent to extend maturities on debt payments until at least May of 2010. They have laid off about 10,000 employees, and they're now working on restructuring their debt of $60 billion with a B dollars. Dubai World's debt of $60 billion accounts for 75% of the United Arab Emirates' combined debt. So if you're hoping for relief, understanding that Dubai World is the government's official investment arm, investors were hoping that the debt would be guaranteed by the state of Dubai, but that's not so. Dubai's government declared that it's not responsible for Dubai World's debt or their financial problems. According to J.P. Morgan Chase, the Royal Bank of Scotland was the biggest underwriter of loans to Dubai World, while HSBC has the most risk in the United Arab Emirates. More defaults for these already ailing banks could send a crippling chain reaction through the market. To establish a timeline, now that we know what the facts are, it'll be interesting to tie events on a timeline and establish the chronological succession of developments. The results are truly surprising. On Thanksgiving Day and early Friday morning, the S&P 500 futures dropped as low as 1066. It's a 4.5% drop from the previous intraday high. This drop was blamed on Dubai World's announcement. However, the announcement had hit the fan on Wednesday. It did not affect the market on Wednesday, though. But on Thursday, the Wall Street Journal, or Wall Street was closed and equity futures tumbled. So nothing could really happen. The decline in the futures continued and stocks opened soft early Friday morning, but they moved up throughout the day. On Monday, after Thanksgiving, Dubai released that its much anticipated standpoint on the debt. Its declaration not backed up by Dubai World's debt should have served as a wet blanket for markets. Against all odds, though, the markets moved higher yet again on Monday. What is the lesson that we need to learn here? Speculators and conspiracy theorists will certainly have their fun with the events that have transpired. Without adding to any speculation, what can be said for certain is this: there's no direct correlation between the announcement and the market's action. Number two, the U.S. saw the biggest decline months on the very day Wall Street was closed, which might have indicated what international investors were already thinking about U.S. stocks before the announcement. And more toxic assets seem to be coming our way, so someone's going to have to pay that debt. We've also come to realize that the final outcome for such kind of news tends to be worse than the initial announcement. Remember how AIG, Fannie Mae, and Merrill Lynch initially admitted to only small difficulties? Before the financial crisis really took hold, the ETF Profit Strategy newsletter brand marketed the financial sector as a downward spiral with no stop-loss provision and recommended short ETFs, such as the ultra-short Financial ProShares. Within months of the recommendation, the financial sector has tumbled 75%, which resulted in rich triple-digit gains for certain areas. Today, the grand majority believes that a major collapse has been averted in our markets. In all reality, though, the financial problems that caused the near-system collapse has been fixed with the same methods that got us into trouble to begin with. It's like healing frostbite with ice cubes, and it's painful, and it's unlikely to work. Another lesson to be learned is that the Dubai episode is how fragile frontier and emerging markets are still. My personal take on the matter is that they built and built and built, and they were using the principle of build it and they will come, and without the funds, folks can't come. It's just that simple. I've been to Dubai. It's extremely expensive. And to anticipate businesses moving there when there are other places where they can do business more affordably probably isn't so realistic, especially now that our whole economy has contracted. There's just not that much money circulating anymore as a result of the bounce of 2007 in our financial markets and then of last year when we saw stocks tumbling again. So these are just some things to think about. We will have more midweek update on the Unlock Your Wealth radio show coming up right after this.
Like, has your cell phone or iPod ever totally run out of battery before? Maybe you're somewhere without power, like fishing, camping, or the beach. Now you can have all the power you need. The K-Free Charger by Kinesis Industries uses wind and sun to charge your devices anytime, day or night. Use the wind and sun to store up charging power or charge your device right on the spot. Available now for $99.95 at www.kinesisindustries.com. That's Kinesis, K-I-N-E-S-I-S, industries.com. Like, go there totally.
Hi, this is Melanie, and I'm part of Two for the Road USA. I'm the X from Boomer and X. I've been test driving cars for several years, but in the last 18 months, I found it difficult to get in and out of the test vehicles. I kept complaining the manufacturers didn't make the seats large enough until I realized it was me who was too large at 220 pounds. Thanks to the Duradori weight loss program, I lost 50 pounds. The Duradori program is physician-supervised, non-surgical, safe, and effective, and you can lose up to 5 to 10 pounds the first week and 15 to 20 in a month. I did. It controls hunger and trains your body to burn fat, all on an easy-to-follow regimen of exercise, hydration, and delicious, healthy eating. It is a three-phase program combining medication, nutrition, and exercise. This is an affordable program with counselors available at any time. I went from a size 20 to a size 10 in 7 months, and I feel like a different person. Check out my photos on twofortheroadusa.com. Click on Watch Melanie Lose Weight on Duradori. Call Duradori now at 480-661-9662.
Karen Gurm here. You probably recognize me as your segment host for News by the Numbers. Did you know I am also one of the certified NLP practitioners and a financial coach here at the Unlock Your Wealth Foundation? The most successful people in life have coaches to guide them along their chosen path. Tiger Woods, Michael Jordan, Tony Stewart, Tom Hopkins, Robert Kiyosaki all had coaches. Whether it was their father, someone else's father, or another person who helped them to shape their desires into an achievable path to success, with a system of accountability where quitting was the only way to fail. Each of these people had someone who didn't see them as they first were, but as the person inside they knew they could easily become. Financial coaching can be the single addition you need to become financially independent. Call the Unlock Your Wealth Foundation now for your free consultation. 1-866-966-9420. 1-866-966-9420. Or visit us on the web at www.unlockyourwealth.com.
Even in today's economy, I, Count Dracula, have had to foreclose on my castle. But Because of Heather Wagenhall's Unlock Your Wealth Radio, I have not only reacquired my castle, but I have opened a resort for the undead. Tune in to Heather Wagenhall's Unlock Your Wealth Radio. She's the only one not trying to suck you dry.
Here I am. Oh, you thought I wouldn't show up? You thought you could take your credit cards, live beyond your means, spend all you want, not budget a plan, and avoid me? I'm your worst nightmare, baby. Do you know who I am? My first name is Bad, last name is Debt. I promise you, I'm the one that...
Welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. You're listening to the Midweek Update on Heather Wagenhall's Unlock Your Wealth Radio. No, there's no Mr. Bad Debt here. We are working to convince the curmudgeon that we are worthy of being financially independent. No Mr. Bad Debt here. And we're going to only take on good debt that helps leverage us to financial independence. And that's what this week's Key Remember Real Estate is all about. And I'm so excited because we're going to have so much fun this weekend on Saturday's show, because we're going to talk about how do we employ others to build our own wealth. But first, we have some... Yes, it's that time again for your Millionaire Minute. This Millionaire Minute segment is where we crawl into the heads of top millionaire thinkers and put out 60 seconds of tools you can incorporate into your life right now, today. Many of us aspire to be millionaires, but whether it be through an internet venture or some lucrative real estate investment, there are many ways you can go about making money. But just spend a few moments thinking about these interesting facts about millionaires in general. They may surprise you. The average age of Forbes 400 wealthiest individuals is 63. What this means is that if you want to rake in the mega bucks, there's a good chance that it will take you several years to do it. This doesn't mean that you can't become a millionaire before the age of 63. Bill Gates can easily attest to that, but it does speak to the demographics of the world's richest. Whether the increased wealth is due to having more wisdom or simply because they had more years to amass the fortune, well, that's up for discussion. There are more than 7 million millionaires in the world. Guess what? The Millionaires Club isn't that exclusive as it used to be. Realistically, $1 million doesn't seem to go as far as it did anymore. For instance, the average price of a single detached home in Vancouver, which is British Columbia, is over $700,000. Throw in some furniture and a fund to cover some basic expenses, and you're easily into the seven-figure mark. If there are more than 7 million millionaires in the world, it means there's about one millionaire for 1,000 people. So it doesn't sound that exclusive, does it? It also means that it could be you in that one in 1,000. 80% of millionaires drive secondhand cars. Think used cars are only for people who can't afford new ones? Think again. Millionaires who got where they are today partly because they know where they can save a dollar without having to sacrifice anything. Granted, the secondhand cars of millionaires might cost more than your house, but saving money is saving money. There's nothing wrong with driving a secondhand car. And if you stack 1 million U.S. $1 bills, it would be 110 meters or 361 feet high, and weigh exactly 1 ton. Now, think about if this was you. Fully and completely integrate these habits now. See yourself in this way. Look forward into the future and watch how differently people will respond to you as a millionaire. Imagine yourself with these successes already. Create some affirmations with these tools as well to reinforce what you have just integrated into your personality, and that's your Millionaire Minute. Now we have more minutes on your money. How about the countries with the biggest gaps between rich and poor? From Businessweek by Bruce Einhorn, the U.S. Development Program recently came out with a report looking, among things, at income inequality worldwide. The UNDP ranked countries and regions based on a number of factors. It included their Gini coefficient, which is named for the Italian statistician Corrado Gini. We have listed the world's most advanced economies based on their Gini score, with 0 marking absolute equality and 100 meaning absolute inequality. Scandinavian countries, Japan, and the Czech Republic have the least amount of inequality. The U.S. is among the most unequal, but it's not number one. Hong Kong, a Gini score of 43. Their gross domestic product is $207 billion, and their share of income to expenditures is 10% of the poorest and 10% of the richest. So their ratio of income or expenditures share the top 10%. And Hong Kong is renowned for its high concentration of Rolls Royces, expensive real estate, and posh shops. And Chinese Special Administrative Region has plenty of rich people who enjoy showing off their wealth. However, Hong Kong has also one of the largest public housing sectors in the world, with about half of the population living in government-supported or subsidized housing estates. The city has no minimum wage except for domestic helpers from the Philippines, Indonesia, and other countries. And they were number one. Number two is Singapore. Singapore has a Gini score of 42. They are one of the world's most open economies and suffered badly following the bankruptcy of Lehman Brothers last year. Recently, though, the city-state's economy has rebounded with their GDP, their gross domestic product, growing at an annualized 15% rate in the third quarter compared with the previous quarter. We're number three. Okay, this share of income from the top percentile of Americans was 23.5%, the highest since 1928, according to Emmanuel Saez, a Berkeley economist who won the prestigious John Bates Clark Medal in April. Income for the top 1% hit a record high of 6%, and the recession may be exacerbating income inequality. Israel's number four, Portugal's number five, New Zealand, 6, Italy, 7, Britain, 8, Australia, 9, and Ireland rounds out the top 10 of countries with the largest income inequality. Yahoo Finance, Christina Romer says, spending our way out of a recession is sensible policy. I beg your pardon? Hoping to garner support for his latest jobs plan, the president is set to meet with a group of lawmakers in the White House later today to discuss job creation. It's the follow-up to the plan he unveiled on Tuesday, focusing on infrastructure spending, small business tax breaks and credits, and incentives to create more energy-efficient homes. With unemployment at 10%, Mr. Obama caught a lot of heat from Republicans on Tuesday for saying he'll spend our way out of the economic doldrums if that's what it takes to get Americans back to work. His plan is estimated to cost anywhere from $75 billion to $150 billion in infrastructure spending alone, could reach over $50 billion. Here's my question. The article also asked this, too. Where will the money come from? Christina Romer, the White House Council of Economic Advisors chair, says that some of it could come from the $200 billion the government plans to get back in TARP funds. Obviously, you don't use that directly on any of these programs, but it does tell you that we have had some progress in the fiscal space, she tells TechTicker. And we think this frees up some resources that can be used for this incredibly important priority, which is putting people back to work. Only in Washington could someone get away with this kind of fuzzy math. Let's not forget that $200 billion she refers to isn't a gain we booked on our TARP investment. It's simply $200 billion we didn't lose. It's like spending $2,000 on a PC, returning the PC, and then calling the refunded money a profit. Republicans included House Majority Leader John Boehner from Ohio called the move repulsive, arguing that TARP funds should go back to the government to pay down the debt. The administration argues that paying down the debt is also a main priority if this plan should work, but that it shouldn't exclude them from spending on jobs creation. It's simply sensible policy to get people back to work. It's not only good for people, it's good for the budget because then they are earning and paying taxes. But how can you employ someone to do a job when there's no demand? This is what I don't get. Why don't they stimulate paying down the debt and reducing the debt so that the payload that's on the American consumer in taxes goes down, and then you give them a little breathing room? If they weren't taxed so heavily, you wouldn't have to create a job for them. Maybe there would be an incentive for someone to invent something and then hire people, and then we would have a motivated economy. How about that? Just my thoughts, but, you know, who am I? Just a lowly little radio broadcaster here talking about personal finance on the radio. But I'm so excited about this week because we have a fabulous show plan. The ever-popular, effervescent Karen Gurm will not disappoint. We have great guests scheduled this week. And, of course, again, we're going to be talking about Remember Real Estate. And this is the key. This is the moment that we've all been waiting for. All the preparation that we have been doing is for this week, because now we're going to learn how we can have others build our wealth. It's so great. It's going to be the neatest thing. So hopefully you have been still practicing your affirmations. You have been going through and you've assessed your finances and you've created your healthy savings and spending plan. You haven't let the holidays make any seasonal exceptions. You're devoid of emotion when it comes to making decisions about your own properties and your own finances. And you're making effective decisions for your financial future. And you've been reducing your debt, your bad debt, so we can learn how to find the good debt and be able to leverage our way to financial independence systematically and sensibly with the power of real estate investment. It's so incredible how real estate investment works. And I was a stockbroker, and I was a big fan of the stock market, and while we still need to be invested there to get better returns than we do at a bank, because that's where the banks go to invest their money. They take your money when you deposit it in your savings account, and then they go into the stock market and invest it, and they get the big return, and then they pay you a measly little return. And they guarantee that return, so that's why they go out and gamble with your money. But why don't you capture that difference? And then when I found out about the power of real estate, where I could invest a dollar in the stock market and I can earn interest at the rate of a dollar, or I could invest a dollar in real estate and with the power of leverage, I can be earning interest on $8. So that made way more sense to me. So we'll talk more about all of that coming up on Saturday's show. Please tune in. We have trivia, great giveaways, and lots of fun, plus your calls and great show guests. Thanks so much for joining us. You've been listening to the Midweek Update on Heather Wagenhall's Unlock Your Wealth radio show. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll chat with you again on Saturday.
I've had it up to here, listening to a small segment of people trying to put down America. America's the greatest land on earth, and we ought to be proud of what we have. I'm proud of America, I'm proud of our people, and I'm going to prove it. We're American, and damn proud of it.
Frankly, I'm getting a little ticked off.
Go to hell.